to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, we are now also heard on a radio station in Arkansas. I'll tell you more about that in a few moments. It's a 25,000-watt radio station. Now, I know most of you listeners don't care about watts and all that stuff. You care about MPG, but not watts. Well, the deal about watts is the more watts a station has, the more power it has, the more people can hear it. So we're on KQEW 102.3 FM in Arkansas. The station has 25,000 watts.
Sweet!
Boy, that can burn you, I'll tell you. Don't want to step in front of that transmitter. You know, you talk about frying. Speaking of frying, I don't know about you, but, you know, when we broke the story on the Paracast a few weeks ago about the fake educational credentials of Phil Imbrogno, I expected people to line up to maybe defend him. But somehow they're playing the game of shoot the messenger, and we happen to be the messenger here.
Break out your Kevlar, Gene.
Well, you know, I wear my bat suit. Well, it has the Kevlar, the special futuristic Kevlar, with the memory cloth and all that stuff. I'm ready. But you have to let this thing roll over you, but it's crazy. I mean, yep. I didn't say that Phil Imbrogno didn't go to MIT. MIT said that. So I guess we should blame MIT. Maybe all the flames should be focused on MIT. What about the other educational institutions? Let's go after them too, huh? Or, wait a minute, the military. His military credentials are fake. Let's go after the military and fight them.
Hey, we discovered a new school that he claimed he went to, Northeastern.
Where's that?
I've heard of Northwestern, but I've never heard of Northeastern.
Well, all right.
Anyway, I figured I'd throw that one in there. The more you look, the more schools, I think, and the more degrees are being claimed. So,
I know it's very easy online to get yourself a college degree. You send somebody a couple hundred dollars, they print a beautiful degree. There are also online educational institutions, perfectly legitimate. You can't go to class. You're disabled or you're working. You really can't go to class. You take your courses online, and maybe you do have to show up at some point in time in the class to deal with some issues. But you get a real degree. It's recognized.
Yeah, well.
The other question I have is, would anyone take Phil Imbrogno's claims less seriously or more seriously if he didn't add all the baggage of fake degrees?
Well, that was one of the reasons why I was particularly impressed with his work, is because of his scientific credentials and educational credentials. I mean, that to me legitimized certain aspects of his opinion and thinking, although he did toss around some pop culture words like wormholes and portals and things like that fairly liberally, which always kind of struck me as being a little strange. But I think, yes, Gene, I think all those credentials do tend to add to the gravitas of a person's viewpoint and opinion. So,
well, then, of course, at that particular point in time, some people suggest, well, now we should vet all our guests, submit their degrees so we can investigate this.
Right.
We have to set up an HR department, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
and
God.
The thing is, too, understand, I'm sure that 98 or 99% of the people who claim to have degrees, undergraduate, advanced degrees, have the degrees they claim to have. So to investigate every degree like that, well, you know, it gets to be ridiculous. It's not something we could do, we could afford to do. And certainly we're not going to ask each person with a military background or alleged military background to send us their credentials. That's also preposterous because,
yeah,
you know, again, the vast majority of people, 98, 99%, I don't have the figures, but I expect I'm pretty much in the ballpark, people who had claimed to have degrees, people who claim a military background, it's genuine. The only time you question it is if, in some other way, they do things that make you suspect them.
Right.
Or they go too far. Maybe that was the downfall of Imbrogno. He went too far. He tried too hard to prove he was what he claimed to be.
Yeah. Of course, that photograph of him in the MIT sweatshirt is something pathological about it, something sociopathic about the whole thing. I just wished it would just go away. It's getting ridiculous out there.
Well, it's interesting here. I talked several times to Jim Moseley about this. And frankly speaking, other than the book that he co-authored with J. Allen Hynek and Bob Pratt, Night Siege, back in the 1980s, Jim hadn't heard of the other 15 or 20 books he wrote. So to him, Imbrogno was a non-entity, and maybe that's the whole point. Let's, shall we say, make him a non-entity, except, and I will say it again, if he offers to come on the show and speak the truth and nothing but the truth, and he's not going to be under oath, but you get the point, we'd let him on. Otherwise...
Oh, absolutely. That would be an interesting show, Gene.
Right. I don't want to hear about the sealed degree. I don't want to hear that he actually went to school under a different name because the UFO paparazzi were going to come after him. But I'm really more disgusted, not so much in what he did, because I think he's out of the picture pretty much by now. It's all these other people who have made online flame wars out of this issue. And the question is, why? What's the point? You know, if they can prove he really had those credentials, okay, we're happy
well,
to see
well, that's one
proof.
Thing, but sure. That's not going to happen.
No. If they can prove it, fine. But otherwise, what do they have to say?
Well, I think basically it boils down to they're calling this a baby in the bathwater scenario, that there's too many people willing to throw all his work under the bus and just discount everything. And their argument is that, the guy did do some good work. So, we need to remember that. But
how do you take it seriously? How do you know?
How can you take it seriously?
Sure. How do you know if he lies about his educational background, he lies about his military background? And this is, one of the issues axiomatic in court. In court, if you prove that somebody on the stand has lied about one or more issues, you could use that as legitimate evidence to say he lies here, he could have lied there as well.
Yeah, I'm interested to know if he really went to the Middle East, if he really had those experiences in Oman and had dinner with a nephew of the Sultan or whatever.
Let's see the receipts, the plane tickets.
Yeah, or the stamps on his passport.
Sure.
And, there's some question of whether those trips took place. So if you can come up with a scenario that isn't true within the work itself, then, you might as well just burn your copies of his books. I hate to say that, but it does call everything into question. And it'll be very interesting to
see. Or send the books
see.
Back to the publisher and demand a refund, saying you were defrauded.
Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listen, let's set that aside. I know the shattering in the online blogosphere is not going to end. The paper episode podcast will continue to talk about it till the end of time, and somehow we will be the victims, as long as they spell our names right. But we're not going to mention their names. We have a fascinating guest for us today on the Paracast. Tell us about it.
Well, Paul Budding is, a new face on the block here. I just recently was made aware of him by a very interesting paper that he published, asking and calling for a serious new ufology. And I was so struck by his thinking and his very grounded approach to the 64-year conundrum that we've been all enamored with for so long. And I think he brought up some really good points in that paper, and he's also since then written another paper. And so I thought he would be a really good person to get on the show to get a fresh perspective and really look at where this fractious field is headed and what are the elements that we should be looking at that we've been sort of forced for the trees, been ignoring. And I think this is going to be a really good show, and I'm really looking forward to kicking some of these ideas around. Paul's also a Jungerian academic. He's self-taught, but has immersed himself in Carl Jung's work.
Okay, we're going to get into that. Paul Budding coming up next on
The Paracast.
Neighbors, if you ever hosted an online meeting, you know how difficult it is to get those meetings started. It's your reputation at stake if anything goes wrong. That's why you need the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. Everybody can join a meeting in seconds without any technical headaches. GoToMeeting is so easy, you'll have your first meeting in seconds. See for yourself with this free trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code PODCAST.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com. Or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, here we are, another edition of the Paracast, and I'm really pleased to have Paul Budding all the way from from Britain. We're going to be talking about some interesting papers that he's written recently, and also I think we'd like to, at least I would like to get into some of the Jungerian, Carl Jung's thinking about archetypes and, you know, the UFO phenomenon. Of course, his last book was written about UFOs, and I think that we're going to have a fun time with it. Paul, why don't you give our listeners a little background about who you are and how you came to start the UFO Institute, which is a kind of an umbrella organization that you've set up to look at some of these mysteries that we're all so enthralled by. So why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
I'm self-educated in Jungian psychology. As a previous member of the International Association for Jungian Studies, I dialogued a lot with an American writer called Robert Segal, who was a member of the International Association for Jungian Studies. He wrote a little bit about UFOs, apparently. And in his book, Jung on Mythology, even though he takes extracts from Jung's writings on UFOs. Anyway, for me, my degree is in social science, and I've trained as a person-centered counsellor. I've got a slight interest in the technological singularity. Like, of course, the reason why I'm here is because I've got interested in UFO phenomena as well, and that paper, and trying to start this institute off, which is brand new, so I haven't really got it up and running yet. But I've got good help on the technical side. Start, you know, all the computer side of it, from someone called Nathan Wozniak. He's very computer savvy, therefore he's excellent help. Anyway, that's my background, I think.
Well, how long have you been interested in UFOs?
Oh, well, that goes back to when I was a child, but I've not been, like, seriously interested in it, you know, beyond the hype of it, sort of thing. I mean, the movies, yeah, but getting interested in it to write anything about it is just really this year, although I will have read about it from the Jung Connection over the last few years.
And so this whole recent spat of writing that you've done is pretty much your sort of introduction, or introducing yourself to the field. Let's talk a little bit about Beyond the Living Myth, from Serious Old Ufology to Serious New Ufology, which is a paper that you, interestingly enough, published on, you know, the United States Independence Day on July 4th of this year, which is what brought you to my attention. And why don't you give us a little bit of background on, you know, how long it took you to come up with this idea or this analysis of the situation, and what has prompted you to go ahead and create the the Serious New Ufology Institute, as you call it.
Again, because I was interested in Jung before, it's hard to, like, say when all the views formed bit by bit. But the background, I start off with the psychology side of it, because it's easy to imagine that it's all psychological, especially if you've, like, studied Jung. It's easy to imagine that people are interested in it because it's fascinating, it gives them awe, and I'm sure there's a lot of that is involved. But I don't think it's all explained by that, because it does seem that there is some intelligently controlled craft in the skies, as you're probably very, very, very familiar with. So, even for example, Jung says that he thinks that conscious and unconscious fantasy play a big role in building up the rumour, and the psychological explanation seems at first that it must be the case. But then he says, so far as I know, it remains an established fact, supported by numerous observations, that UFOs not only have been visually, but have also been picked up on the radar screen and left traces on the photographic plate. So it boils down to nothing less than this, that either psychic projections brought back a radar echo, or else the appearance of real objects affords an opportunity for mythological projections. You would often say archetypal projections there, but it's the same sort of thing. But like I say, there's this projection idea that people are wanting to back up their feelings of fascination, like, and defend that, so it's like a modern religion. But then again, like I said, there's this these crafts are seen. We see it with Hastings talking about UFOs or the nuclear facilities in America. See, with Dolan's work on he's going on about declassified documents that say that UFOs have been chased by the military in America and other places. Nevertheless, if the ET hypothesis, right, what's commonly known as Earth, then that is a coincidence, because that's mainly the projection that UFO buffs throw onto what they see in the skies. But there are other theories, though, as you probably know, interdimensional time travelers. So it could be human, it could be secret government somewhere that is really ultra secret.
Crypto-terrestrials, the trickster. I mean, there's all sorts of theories out there. What I've noticed in your paper is that you very sort of methodically and very logically address some of the more popular theories and look at the possible implications of these particular theories and how perhaps more than there is no one size fits all type answer according to your thinking, and that we should be looking, I think, a little bit more broadly at the whole phenomenon and the mystery, and really looking at our motivations. I think you just sort of hinted around at that. I think you use the term "living myth" in your paper, which it rings true to me. This has been my thinking for quite some time, that we're seeing the emergence of sort of a new model of religion and religious belief, and of course Jacques Vallée, who most of our listeners are quite aware of, did address this in Messengers of Deception, which I think is a very important book that not enough people in the field have read or reread. And so why don't you give us, from your background as a Jungarian, someone that has studied and works with the Jung school of thought in psychology, why don't you give us your breakdown of how the extraterrestrial hypothesis myth, for instance, appears to you and the role that it plays in the field right now?
It's very difficult. I think that probably the majority of people that maybe just watch a TV show, maybe don't, on some channel, I don't know if I have a name channel funny yet, but they might not think about UFO phenomenon much more than from what they see and what they only occasionally see. They might not think about it all the time. But once they've seen a program like that that shows discs in the sky reconstructions, that might attach to that. They might attach to that, and they might like the feeling they get from that. And that side's Jungian, in the sense that they'll want to believe. It's like wanting to believe in God, so whatever. It's that sort of religious feeling, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Paul. We'll pursue this in our next segment. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrideKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrideKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrideKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrideKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're back with Paul Budding, and his organization is called the Serious New Ufology Institute, and we're exploring belief systems, UFO investigations, Jungian psychology, and lots more. Chris, you want to pick up on this?
Well, before we went to break, we were talking about people maybe with a casual interest in this subject, seeing a show that fascinates them and creates a sense of awe. So we do have to factor the media in here, I think, at the ground level, because the media is responsible for creating belief systems in people that are maybe not motivated enough to do their own research and find out what rings true for them based on their own personal study. They allow the media to sort of do their thinking for them, I guess would be a way to put it. This is always, to me, has always been, I think, a major stumbling block for the field to move forward. Why don't you address the media and the role that the media plays here?
Well, what I was saying before is it also adds to being preferable to believe. So when you get the opinion polls about do you believe in UFOs, there's probably a bias to slanting to say, yes, I do. Because that's what you want. So, I mean, I think it was Fox Mulder in X-Files, I think, had a poster saying he wanted to believe.
Yeah, I want to believe.
Yeah, so I think there's quite a lot of that, and that's tied to the psychology side, obviously.
Well, do you think that the way the question is being asked, Paul, skews the response?
I'm not sure about that. I think that the UFO phenomenon can be one religion. Maybe the questions and opinion polls can always skew, but I think there is a bias towards wanting to believe. But then again, I think there's something. I believe there's intelligently controlled craft out there, and I don't think it's because of some fascination and awe that's making me think that now. I think it is possible to look at it objectively, but then we come back to the question. Hastings is a very, very, very intelligent guy, and he's looked at declassified documents involving the nuclear weapons over the nuclear facility sites, and so he believes that this intelligent control craft interfering with nuclear weapons in America.
I should say before we go on that Robert Hastings, the author of UFOs and Nukes, will be a guest again in the near future on the Paracast. He's been on in the past. Go ahead, Paul.
But he jumps to the conclusion, not for definite, but in credit, he says that he's not certain, he's just speculating. But even he believes that it's ETs from other planets that are doing it. So you can look into the subject seriously and come up with the same conclusion by coincidence as people who, like you say, through the media, through the shows on television, were just going at it from how it makes them feel, or what it makes them want to believe. You can have, by coincidence, the same conclusion.
Let's go back a little bit to Carl Jung, because he wrote this book back in the 50s, which maybe three people read, UFOs, a Modern Myth or something of Things Seen in the Sky. Now, the issue here, of course, the thing that he talked about, and this is where it kind of got maybe a little confused also, he talked of a collective unconscious. Now, for the sake of everyone, we don't want to basically cause your minds to explode here. A collective unconscious, it kind of means like a collective belief. Is that correct?
Not really, Gene.
So how would you describe collective unconscious? Does that mean that the unconscious mind of all the people create the reality?
It's basically that which is unknown, but it's more than that. It's Jung thinks that it's innate and already in human beings, in everyone's heads, I suppose. It goes beyond Freud's repressed unconscious. He thinks it's all archetypes. He thinks it comes from emotions. Everyone's got the same emotions inside them, the potential to out. I mean, I'm not a classical Jungian, so, but nevertheless, he thinks that the archetypes like goes beyond personal complexes. So I'm trying to think of an example. Shadow. The shadow is definitely a classic Jungian example.
Yeah, and that would probably be the most basic of the archetypes.
Yeah, and that's why it's come to my mind, I think. He thinks that consciousness is individual, but because people's virtues is what's most unique about each individual, in Jung's opinion. But the shadow, he thinks, is very similar or the same across everyone. Therefore, the shadow would be an archetype of the collective unconscious.
Okay, so how do we relate the concept of archetypes, collective unconscious, and everything to UFOs? How did he envision UFOs in relation to all that?
More simply, that it was a projection of meaning into the skies, I would say, in a very modern dress. So,
right. Well, it's also it's a manifestation of the mandala, which is also an archetypal. Oh, yeah. An archetype found collectively in all cultures. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the things that he postulated was that the mandala is a symbol of completeness. And with the Cold War, you know, really heated up in the early to mid-50s, I think he wrote the book in 56 or 57, if memory serves me correct. But with the Cold War heating up, he surmised that possibly, you know, people were projecting this positive sort of symbol of completion into the reality as a way to sort of counteract the fear that was pretty palpable, I think, during the Cold War. And that the mandala archetype is one that obviously he identified the UFO shape, the shape of the disc, the discoidal. Yeah. Shape as being a physical representation of a sort of a space age mandala, for lack of a better term.
You also state that maybe we projected UFOs originally because they would come here to save us from ourselves? We couldn't get out of the Cold War, the threat of a nuclear catastrophe, so ET had to come down here and take care of it.
The mandala point that you made was a very good point. The shape of it as well, being like a disc. And Jung was very big on compensation. So, like you say, for the wars, going for the Cold War and what have you, he thought that this was very much a compensation phenomenon. But he did also seem to think that ultimately there was something physical to it that was real.
This was an issue in one of Major Donald Kehoe's books, okay, where he basically had to get reassurance or reassure Dr. Young back in the 50s that he believed UFOs to be not just something that we imagine, but something real. It's tracked on radar. It's a physical phenomenon. It's a real spaceship. He tried to make that line of demarcation.
He did, but he didn't go into it. He stuck with the psychology, but you can see some of the things he said. I quoted at the start of the show. One of the things he said showed that he did actually accept that there was something physically real to it. But he stuck mainly to the psychological because he always said that he was first and foremost a psychologist.
So how do we separate the psychological UFOs from the ones that have a external physical reality?
Or can you?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. Jung didn't try to do that. He just said that despite the fact that it was mainly psychological, there was I think he thought there was a coincidence of the projection of meaning in disguise, the mandala, the UFO, what was projected onto them, the fascination, the awe, and all of that. And he thinks there was also something real to it. And to disentangle that would be a very difficult job, I think. He never actually went into anything about the ETs. So whether he was, I think he was just going about as far as what I am in saying that there's something to the intelligently controlled craft.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of this in our next segment. Paul Budding joining us, and he has this organization which is called, how's that? It's the Sirius New Ufology Institute. There you go. Paul Budding joining us. Please send your comments about the show to news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
The Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safol natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We continue with Paul Budding. The organization is called the Sirius New Ufology Institute, and I'm going to want to draw a line of demarcation here between old ufology and new ufology, because we used to use that term back in the 60s. I don't know if Paul knows that. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. At that point in time, in the UFO field, we talked about ET coming here in physical spaceships. And for whatever purpose, okay? They're tracked on radar, sometimes photographed, leave physical traces, etc. Some of us came up with a new ufology concept, and people like John Keel were involved in this, Jacques Vallée, talking about the less than physical aspects of UFOs. So, Paul, I put the question to you, when you talk about serious old ufology before we define new ufology, serious new ufology, how do you define serious old ufology?
In the paper that I wrote, I would say that the declassified documents, which are actually quite new and fresh, but nevertheless, we accumulated all these cases on top of each other, and yet the field's never really progressed. It's not really convinced the skeptics. So I'm thinking since the declassified documents have come into the open, we can say that it seems to be clear to quite a few new academics on the scene that military jets have been scrambled that are to chase intelligently controlled craft that are unknown. Now, when more and more of these cases build up in the future, we could define that as the old ufology. I mean, not to discredit it, like, I don't know, a political party might refer to old Democrat or old Labour or something, and they usually said to discredit. It's not in that sense as such. But nevertheless, serious new ufology might want to think, right, we know about these cases, there's one on top of the other all the time. At least Nick Pope, the British, most famous British ufologist perhaps, says that about 5% of these cases are genuine, and he likes the books that Leslie Keane writes. And you could say that Leslie Keane and Dolan, they're writing about serious old ufology, and it's time at least to think, well, what are these craft that would be serious new ufology? What do they represent? Are they ETs? Or are they time travellers? Are they secret human government? Nevertheless, just because I've categorised this, I'm not trying to sound like, well, now, there we go, then everything's sorted, because you might say that some of the cases look clearly as, how can I put it, the Congress lights, for instance, in 1952, they look like possible, there's something clearly going on here. There's UFOs over Congress. It's a national security breach. And also the Hastings cases we refer to about the deactivation of the nukes, they look like clear cases. But nevertheless, there's still that problem remaining that we cannot say what exactly they are, if they're ET or not. So I categorise it, and it might sound like, but I think it is, but good idea to categorise. But it doesn't give us the answer of what are they, and that's serious ufology's question, I would say.
Well, how do you go about separating out potential different players here in this scenario? Because it does appear to me, at least, and I think a lot of people, that we're dealing with something infinitely more complicated than a simple ETH one-size-fits-all answer. We could have secret military craft that have exotic capabilities, possibly remotely piloted. There is some evidence to suggest that there is a percentage of sightings misconstrued as UFOs that are actually very terrestrial in nature. We also have objects that appear to be metaphysical in some sense. They can appear and disappear. They can morph from one shape into another shape. They can appear sometimes on radar, but other times they don't appear on radar. Sometimes you'll have a group of witnesses, and only, maybe 9 out of 10 of the people will see the actual object, and there are people that actually can't even see it. So how do you separate all this out? How do you come up with some sort of litmus test that's going to help separate out each one of these potential players?
It's very difficult. I think there's two key theories, and one's I can think of by Nick Cook, not Nick Pope, Nick Cook, and he is very familiar with human anti-gravity technology going back to the end of the Second World War. Because you know that you'll probably know yourself that America captured lots of German Nazis, scientists. And they were working on projects to deal with disks.
Of course, the Nazi scientists basically created our space program.
Oh, yes. And they were working on disks, apparently, according to Nick Cook. And this anti-gravity technology, there was a project called the Bell. That was, and Nick Cook claims it was able to distort time and space, this craft. So there's a lot of human technological side to it, I think. But nevertheless, that guy Hastings, again, he disputes all this. He says that such technology couldn't possibly exist as far back as the 40s, that he sees the UFOs manoeuvres as doing. Says that couldn't possibly be done in the 40s, and never mind the 40s, couldn't be done in the 80s, he claims. So there's quite a big split between someone like Nick Cook and someone like Robert Hastings, yet they both seem to make good points to me. Yes, continue.
Well, Nick Cook, for some of our listeners who might not be familiar with him, for many years was the chief investigative reporter for Jane's Defense Weekly, which I think is probably still has the record of being the oldest publication that's been continuously published. He's done a number of very good documentaries on the UFO subject and on, you know, advanced potential black broad project type programs. One of them I actually was in, called Billion Dollar Secret, which I do recommend. It's online. You can see it on YouTube. So Hastings also brings up the point, which you bring up in your paper, that if it is U.S. exotic black technology, why would they be going over our own nuclear weapon sites and messing around with turning nukes off and that sort of thing? It doesn't make sense to Hastings that we would be doing that to ourselves, and that's a point well taken. But perhaps there is some sort of psychological warfare program going on, testing the effectiveness of our personnel inside these. Maybe these are tests that they're enacting on our own personnel. So there are possible scenarios that could be looked at that would fit into a black budget, you know, exotic terrestrial craft scenario. But it is an interesting point that he does raise about why would we want to turn off our own nuclear weapon systems or freak out the personnel who are manning them, because once something scary like that happens, you do tend to, you know, ratchet up the potential for some sort of accident to happen, and maybe some of these things get fired off for some reason. Back in the Cold War, we got to the brink on quite a number of occasions that most people don't know about. And, this whole political situation was a powder keg. So I am in the midst of reading his book, and I'll tell you, there are quite a number of very well-documented examples of overflights of these types of weapons facilities and actual nuclear power plants and whatnot. Can you come up with an idea of how to possibly, look at anecdotal information in the old ufology way and possibly glean some sort of indication of what these things are based on the type of report it is? Do you think that's even possible?
I'm stuck between Nick Cook and Hastings on this, their arguments. Like you say, I have thought about the point that why would American intelligence shut down their own nukes? So that's what one to Robert Hastings as such. You said there was psychological test. I've heard that said by, I think, Jacques Valli, concerning Rendlesham Forest, which is Nick Pope's favourite pet topic in UFO phenomenon. You know about Rendlesham Forest in the early 1980s in Britain. It was a US military base. And Kraft actually was supposed to have actually landed. So that sounds like very convincing proof. Not almost like landing at the White House, but the next nearest thing, landing on a military base and everyone getting to see it. And Jack Valli thinks that case is so convincing that must have been a psychological test. So the point you raised there about a psychological test is an interesting theory for some cases.
I think one of the arguments made is that over the years, in addition to quote-unquote real UFOs, there have been some instances of disinformation, instances where someone or somebody is playing a game, testing our reactions to different things, maybe testing our reaction to a possible genuine visitation by E.T. We'll have to find out more. Paul Budding joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.